Blog Talk Radio.
I think a year later, Rob Feinstein had a similar experience where he tried to do a shoot interview and Billy was just insane, talking about things that were insane. And half the time you would ask him a question and he'd try to work you on it. But it's like, this is all history and common knowledge. And it was really weird. And I've kind of described it as, it feels like Billy is trapped mentally in about 1990 and is still in his mind at the height of his glory and behaves as such, but also obviously has a drug problem, clearly, or did. So I, you know, just because a person has some mental health issues doesn't mean they don't know right from wrong. And I think that's what you'll see in this trial, is Billy does know right from wrong. And I think that's why he'll probably stand trial, be found guilty, and get sent to a prison rather than a mental health facility. That's my guess.
A lot of fans lost track of Billy Jack Haynes for a long time. He sort of, in the mid-90s, stepped away from the wrestling business and then resurfaced in the shoot interview era. He did several different shoot interviews, like Matt was saying, where he would come up with conspiracy theories and so forth. But then he sort of vanished a little bit after those started to wane in popularity, and he lived in Portland, would sometimes show up to area independent shows unannounced just to see what was going on there. But he was not on a lot of fans' radar, so a lot of fans may not even know that he was married or that he was having any problems. As someone that is an industry insider, Stuart, were you aware of Billy Jack being married and having difficulties with the wife or difficulties in his health or anything like that, or was he sort of off the radar of a lot of the people in the industry too?
He was off the radar a lot. I mean, the thing is, I'd seen him, as you were mentioning, he'd attended a couple of independent shows. When I met him at one of the independent shows, he was friendly enough. I mean, he was willing to have pictures and sign autographs and whatever else. But he seemed to be lacking a lot of what had made him the star. I mean, gone was the physique that he had, and everybody remembers, when he was wrestling in the WWF back in 1987. It's hard to believe it's been that long, but, had perhaps one of the best physiques of all in the Pacific Northwest, and his demeanor was much diminished, from what the outlandish kind of person he was, and seeing him in person, he was friendly enough to talk to. He kept a lot of his private stuff private, and that was in relations to his marriages, his relationships, anything outside the wrestling industry, we never really talked about, and that was just the way that we'd encountered it. I never pushed him on anything, just because I've heard that he would snap, and I really didn't want that to happen, and he didn't seem to be wanting to push it any further, and so I figured that we just sort of let him go, we talked to him, and it was a big surprise when we heard that he had married somebody so much older than he was, and that he was still residing in the Portland area. I mean, he never left. A lot of the guys in the area never left, he kept basically to himself. So, that his appearances, although few, were just basically on the limelight. I mean, there were a lot of guys that did that. Buddy Rose used to go to independent shows, saw some pictures and whatever else. Basically, it was allowing themselves to rekindle a lot of what they'd done in the past, even though they weren't able to do it currently. So, and that happens to a lot of guys nowadays. I mean, they live so much vicariously through their previous experiences.
Matt, what about you? I know you did the documentary and you knew Billy Jack, but were you aware of him having gotten remarried and having these difficulties with the wife and with his own mental health?
Well, I don't know. I didn't know anything about him being married. I don't think he was married when we shot this documentary. I was pretty shocked to find out that it was a local wrestler's mother. I wasn't expecting that. When I had picked him up and dropped him off, it wasn't at that house. And so I presume the marriage was relatively recent, maybe two older people who'd known each other for 30, 40 years, shacking up together and making life easier. I don't know of any difficulties with the wife either. The story that I've heard is that this was a mercy killing, and everything I've heard about the story, I actually believe it sounds very reasonable to me. Having heard enough about Billy Jack, and this is going to sound so weird, but just follow this thread with me, right? So I have heard three different stories about Billy and how he is very chivalrous with women and has a lot of respect for women. This is just stories I've heard from guys who were around and wrestled with him, and would defend women. And in a weird way, I can see how in Billy's mind, this old woman, having lost the will to live, asks him to do the deed. And in Billy's weird way of thinking, somehow this is the ultimate act of chivalry and mercy, and there's nothing left to live for. But then at the same time, there's this other side of Billy that's still the superstar of the 1980s. And there's no way it's a murder. There's no way it's like a murder-suicide pact. It may have been a murder-suicide pact, but Billy Jack Haynes is addicted to being Billy Jack Haynes and being a star. And I don't think he could ever give that up by committing suicide. And so it ends up just being a murder. But I do believe it was a mercy killing. I believe that she asked him to do the deed, and he did it. And in a weird way, he felt that it was the honorable and right thing to do, even though the average person could never understand that. But you got to spend a little time with Billy in the last decade, and you might start to see how he would think about it. There you go.
Fair enough. Well, guys, we have been joined by someone else that knew Billy Jack Haynes, and Diafolo the Butcher Debauchee, I will ask you this to get things rolling. You spent a good amount of time with Billy Jack Haynes. When did you first become aware that something might be off with him as far as his mental state, and were you aware that he had gotten remarried and was having difficulties?
Well, I want to say hello to everyone out there in the room and all the listeners. What was the question again? When I first met him, you know, he was didn't want nothing to do with wrestling. And how this came up, because as you know, I had my own private investigation agency before I opened up Debauchee Market. And Eugene, Nick Dismore, you know, it was a joke. We went around Portland, and with a camera, we're on the lookout for Billy Jack Haynes. And then, you know, move on, you know, people, oh, you're a PI. So I made it a thing to actually go find him. We found him the first day I saw him. We went to the park across where he was staying, and we sat there for like 6 hours, and he went through, you know, everything he had. He was so, like, OCD. He had, like, a picture album, and things highlighted. He talked about Bruce Anderson, the commission at the time, a lot of stuff about Vince McMahon. And, you know, people thought he was crazy, you know, and a lot of the stuff he was telling me is coming out in this lawsuit against Vince McMahon. And I was kind of at awe. And, you know, and as it goes on, I'm sure, you know, dementia kicked in and stuff. And, you know, as time, you know, the thing about him is he trusted me, but the two other guys that were with me, he told me he didn't trust them. So he would open up to me, call me. Then every so often, I wouldn't hear from him. And I guess he would have a burner phone or whatnot, and he'd always change his number, always saying someone was after him. And so I could see his mental stability, I think, was going. But at the same time, he was speaking truth. He was telling me about that the situation with two boys on the track, and it got some steam. And, of course, you know, about the Clintons and stuff, it's going to be, you know, washed. And, yeah, so, and then after a while, I didn't hear from him, and then he called me from Florida. The last time I talked to him, he called me from Florida when Rip Oliver was on his deathbed. Mm-hmm. And I got to talk to Rip for a few seconds, you know, and yeah, then after that I didn't hear from him. And the next thing you know, I get a call from one of the boys in North Carolina. Well, they text me, say, hey, look, Billy Jack. And this whole ordeal with the shooting and stuff, and I didn't even know he was married.
Now, Stuart, you've been around probably longer than anyone here on the show today. You've seen a lot of scandals pop up in wrestling, be it national wrestling scandals or regional or even just the local independent things that happen. As far as the wrestling business itself goes, do you think that this is going to have any effect on pro wrestling? Do you think that people will be turned off knowing that there's yet another wrestler that has murdered someone? Or do you think that with the allegations of CTE and so forth, that'll turn people off from wrestling? Or do you think things will largely just go on as they were before?
Well, I think definitely things are going to continue on the way they were right before. And it's not against anything, but there's, I mean, you figure right now, it might have been more, you know, 20, 30 years ago when, you know, the WWF and WCW basically destroyed every little territory that existed. You know, and it might have been a big story then. Excuse me. Nowadays, I mean, you've got promotions basically in your neighborhood that didn't exist before. Commissions be damned, etc. I mean, in Oregon, I think there's like five or six. In Washington, there's about the same. Definitely a lot more than there used to be. And with that, there are literally thousands of professional wrestlers nowadays. The problem that a lot of us have, and you know, it's my age group especially, you know, we akin ourselves to what the days were of wrestling, you know, when we used to watch it on our TVs, you know, in the days when closed circuit first existed before pay-per-views. And then pay-per-views and that sort of thing, or we go to our local matches and so on and so forth. And it was a very identified group of fans that would go to those events. Nowadays, I mean, it's everybody and their mother, you know, being mothers, they all, I'll put that in there. But, I mean, everybody and their mother pretty much goes to shows nowadays, where it's all-inclusive. We have fans of all demographics, of all ages, of all sexes. And there are many different sexes that are involved here. We have the young, the old, and that sort of thing. And we've included all of those people into the shows. You know, a guy like Billy Jack, for example, would definitely appeal to, you know, persons in my age or even those that, you know, watched the 80s and 90s and into the early 2000s. And being, you know, very, oh, wow, I got to go and see that guy. I mean, that's fantastic. But they're becoming fewer and far between. We get to see some of them that go and appear at, WrestleFest that they did in St. Louis, or they do WrestleCade in North Carolina, or CAC in Vegas, or the Waterloo Hall of Fame, or the Gulf Coast wrestlers meet in Florida at the Wrestler's Lunch. I mean, you know, those are the old school days. Nowadays, it's the new school stuff, where there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in matches. And so a lot of those people don't even know who Billy Jack is. You know, they're shocked when they hear such travesty has happened. But with so many thousands that are now involved in our business, you know, it becomes almost second nature. And let's face it, I mean, you know, we've almost become conditioned to it where, you know, oh, well, somebody's killed somebody. Oh, well, you know, and we move on. There's no longer the feeling of remorse. You know, we don't seem to have the time to do that. And that, you know, there are those people that have the CTE and that sort of thing. I mean, we found that out with the situation with Chris Benoit, you know, who, you know, a lot of fans nowadays would probably be more akin to than a Billy Jack. But we're seeing a lot more of that situation. You know, CTE and so many of these other things are now starting to show up, which we never discussed before because it was sort of like so many other things. We never really delved into what the reality is a lot of these guys were facing. You know, you're traveling 400 miles to a town. You'd wrestle 5-6 nights a week. Nowadays, you're lucky if you're seeing weekly shows, biweekly shows, monthly shows, every 3 months a show. That sort of thing. I mean, there really isn't the economics anymore to make a life career out of going to all these different towns. For a lot of those guys, they just can't do it. So, yeah, you're definitely seeing a lot more on illnesses that are affected, you know, CTE and other dementia issues. And we're discussing that to a greater degree than we were before. I don't know if we're ever going to get to the bottom of what caused these issues. A lot of that is still to be determined.
Very true. Well, Diafola Debashi, what about you? Do you think this will have any meaningful effect on the wrestling industry?
You're asking me?
Diafola.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, what was that? I got distracted.
I was asking, do you think it'll have any meaningful effect on the business, the ramifications of what Billy Jack did?
About what happened with Billy?
Yes.
I don't think so. People have short attention spans. I think, unless, you know, locally maybe, but I really think people just have short attention spans. It ain't going to affect it at all.
Fair enough. Debash, I know that you're kind of busy. You got to bow out real quick.
Yes, I'm going to have to leave. I'm sorry, sign guy. Have a nice show. I'll be listening, but the store's getting really busy now. I got to help my son.
I got you. No problem. Thanks for being on today. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Well, Matt Legit, what about you? Do you think there's going to be any repercussions within the wrestling business over what happened with Billy Jack?
Oh, I think it's going to make a great episode of Dark Side of the Ring on Vice. And that'll be the only ramification. I don't think that – honestly, my honest take, I don't think Portland wrestling fans from back then care one bit. I think that we're at this point in time, if you are a wrestling fan who grew up on a territory, you've seen this song and dance before. Pro wrestling is a microcosm for the entire world. There are people like Sting who become devout Christians and, you know, go on to, he probably, you know, privately donates tons of money and does all sorts of terrible things that we never hear about. Then you have people who go and commit murder. You have people who die of drug overdoses. You have people who end up in prison for horrible things that they've done. You know, there's Benoit's and Buck Zumhoff, but there's also Sting. And so I don't think it's going to affect the wrestling business in any way other than to just another quality episode of Dark Side of the Ring. I think that anyone who has been paying attention to Billy Jack Haynes the last 20 years probably could see this coming. Like, not this specific thing, but you know Billy Jack's going to do something crazy because that's his MO the last 15 years. And so, you know, something Dave was talking about, Debashi, the picture album that Billy Jack carried around. That is the exact same experience I had. Billy has a 3-ring binder, and within it are these laminated pages that he's collaged together. And so, like, he'll have a picture of his ex-wife, Jeannie Clark. And it'll have, like, their marriage certificate with it. Has a photo of his mom with her birth and death date. a photo of a man he claimed was his real father, who was not his blind dad. But then he also would have in there, this is an interesting story that I don't know if anybody, if he's ever really told, was when he claimed to me on camera that he came to the cemetery in Oregon City where his parents were buried, and he went there to commit suicide, and this newspaper blew up in his face. It was just kind of, you know, fluttering around in the cemetery. And, like, he starts reading this newspaper, and he starts making all these wild connections in his mind to this obituary about a deceased soldier. And he was born on my dad's birthday, and he was, you know, and he died on Vince McMahon Sr.'s birthday. And I started making all these connections. Like, he literally says, he just, I started making all these connections. And I put my finger down my throat, and I threw up all the pills I just swallowed. And, like, it sounds like a complete bullshit story, but he's got the obituary from the newspaper of this soldier laminated alongside his deceased parents. So that's not something the normal person or average person would be doing, for sure. So I have to presume that story's maybe real, but that three-ring binder is basically a document of Billy's entire life that had – a photo of him when he was in the hospital when he got assaulted here in Portland in maybe 2003, 2006, somewhere in there, when he was drug running for the local Mexican mafia. And he got assaulted. And, of course, on camera, to me, he pretended it was Vince McMahon sent these goons to assault me. But when you dig into the story, You know, you kind of find out the real truth, because Billy's talked about how he ripped off, you know, the Mexican mafia or whatever, doing, you know, on drug running. And I'm guessing, like, yeah, he got assaulted outside of a location that is probably connected to the Mexican mafia. If you look into it, I don't want to talk about it. That's why I don't want to put the documentary out, right? Because it is some real shady shit Billy Jack was involved in the 2000s. And I think that, yeah, he kind of corrupted his soul quite a bit during that time. And, but in that three-ring binder is his story. And I actually, when he got arrested, I tried to get a hold of that binder. I talked to the neighbor who was on the news, told her I was trying to get into the house and find that binder. And because her father owned the house. And she said, I know exactly the binder you're talking about. The police took it as evidence. Billy insisted that they take it because it's his life story. And I tried to put in I did put in a record request to get images from that binder, and they wouldn't give it up. So the investigation's still open. What? The investigation's still open? What are you talking about? So, yeah, they're withholding that binder, which is very interesting to me, because a lot of the stuff Billy talked about was very, very shady criminal activity. He talked about murders. Now, he talked about the whole the Clinton railroad track thing. He likes to insert himself into that story. And then he also inserted himself into the murder in the early 80s of, was it Michael Franke, who was the guy who ran the prison system in Oregon and was murdered at the state capitol, which is insane to think about and scary to talk about, because that's really, really shady shit. But Billy also talked about another murder in North Portland, and he claimed that his real father, who was not the blind guy we all knew from TV, his real father was murdered in North Portland in the early 80s in the drug trade. And so, like, you know, I connected, I did all my research, you know, I dug into it because it was too weird that he had this stuff laminated. If he wouldn't have had the stuff laminated, I wouldn't have bought any of it. You know, because the Clinton thing, that's bullshit. He's, like, trying to insert himself into these things to make himself still relevant and important, which I think is something that a lot of people with mental illness do. They have these delusions of grandeur, and they want to be famous still. You know, he wants to be the Billy Jack he was in 1988. And so he's continuing to creating these delusions and trying to get people to buy into them. But within there, I think he lays the seeds of truth, which is also something that mentally ill people will do. You know, they'll fabricate extravagant stories, but within the extravagant story, they'll be telling their true story. And I think that's what I captured on video that I've never really shown anyone.
All right. Well, guys, my co-host, the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones, is with us. I bet Coach has a few things to ask and share on this topic as well. So, Coach, take it away.
Hey, guys, thanks for coming on this beautiful Mother's Day in the Northwest. Thanks so much.
Hey, Coach.
Man, really tragic story, you know, and really sucks. It's, you know, I got a couple examples. What I'm trying to get at is like with Benoit, Vince McMahon, and now you got Billy. You know, people were like, well, at least Benoit and Billy were people's heroes before, you know, and like, you know, Billy was a hero in the Northwest. We're back. I went to see him at versus Ric Flair in a 60-minute Broadway at Seattle Center. And then, you know, he's running down to the ring in Georgia to save Wahoo McDaniel and just other incidences. And then to have it turn out like this, it just really sucks. I wish it didn't happen. And I don't know what you guys think about it, like for example, with Benoit and then how it turned out.
Well, I don't think anybody thought that, you know, it was going to happen, you know, one way or the other. You know, as Matt mentioned a few times before, you know, it may have been doomed to happen, but, you know, in the back of our minds, we never think it until it actually does. And when it does, then all of a sudden we take the necessary steps to investigate it, I guess. But, you know, you're right. You know, Matt's right. It's the dark side of the ring waiting to happen. You know, I don't know. I honestly don't know, though, whether or not Billy Jack's a big enough name in that realm to warrant such a thing. You know, although they're running out of topics, so who knows? But
he is definitely.
You know,
I will argue that Billy Jack is definitely a big enough name because they did that no-name Canadian guy who Chris Jericho lived with. I don't even remember the guy's name, but they did a whole show on that guy, and I'm just like, who is he?
Yeah,
and
so,
remember who's running the show, though. I mean, Jericho's the announcer of the show. I mean, he can basically have anybody he wants on there.
They did that Nick, what's his name, Nick Gage? Nick Cage, the Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. The pick and choose is kind of interesting. But I think it would reflect more to the Northwest. I mean, the Northwest fans would have been definitely more into it. What's surprisingly is that the Northwest stations, you know, whether it be TV or radio or whatever else, haven't had any shows on that whatsoever. I mean, you know, even though there's the Vice thing of Dark Side of the Ring, even the smaller stations, haven't done any pickup on it, which is kind of surprising. I mean, they've glossed over a lot of the wrestling history. I mean, our guys, you know, were mainstays for many years on our TV stations are basically given a blip, if that, when talking about things that were a big thing. When they did, like, the Fox 12, when they promoted their anniversary show, et cetera, and it was maybe less than a minute or so I'm talking about Portland Wrestling, you know, being on the station. I've been on there for 30, 40 years. I mean, come on now. I mean, you've got, you should definitely warrant better than a blip. The fact is that these were, you know, Portland was like Calgary, was like Vancouver, San Francisco, where we created talents that became worldwide stars. In Billy Jack's case, though, unfortunately, he wasn't on the main stage very long. He was only in the WWF for maybe a year and a half, and WCW, you know, for a brief time. And really, in both cases, with the exception of the one that he was at the WWF where they did the thing with Hercules, they didn't do very much, though, beyond that to elevate him. I mean, they were really heavily out of the Hogan stuff. So Billy Jack, being a face, wasn't in the Hogan mix, so he wasn't going to elevate at all. He wasn't in the same realm with Santana and Valentine, who were grappling over the Intercontinental belt, and of course he was now going to Honky Tonk Man, and they were pushing the Ultimate Warrior at that time. Again, you know, he wasn't in that realm. So, I mean, he was basically the no man's land. He was coming back to the Pacific Northwest, and unfortunately, for whatever reason, that show didn't draw in 94 when they did the thing with Sandy, you know, and Billy Jack was brought out as Black Blood. I mean, really, why wouldn't you bring him out as Billy Jack? I mean, everybody remembered him as Billy Jack. I mean, regardless of whether or not he'd been on WCW as Black Blood, the fact is that everybody remembered him locally, you know, as that. I mean, you wouldn't call Buddy Rose, you know, bringing him back onto the 90, like, say you brought him in for 94 with Sandy Barr, you wouldn't have called him the Executioner, for example.
Even though he
wrestled under that as WWF. You know, the fact is that put them in the names that they will remember that, and people will gravitate towards that and go, hey, I remember this guy from X, right? Now, you know, in physical, you know, what he's had in terms of mental disabilities, let's face it, nobody is perfect. Everybody has some sort of flaw, whether it's a mental disability, physical disability, or both, or whatever. You know, it happens. It's how you curtail that, and you know, the fact that he got involved in some shady dealings, you know, that definitely helped get him in notoriety. Not necessarily the right kind, but you know, he got his 15 minutes of fame. But right now, we've got such a gamut of guys that are doing stupid things all the time, they get nary a blip in the media pages, whether it's the paper or the TV or whatever else. I mean, we do this big expose thing on TV. Oh, you know, he's been arrested and that sort of thing. They had the SWAT team, but we haven't heard anything about that since, right? You know, I mean, they did the big thing where he's arrested and they had the SWAT team show up. We've heard nothing about the court case at all. We don't know what's going on with any of that. They said nothing. But it's like that, you know, with media, they do their big, ta-da, there it is, and then all of a sudden they walk away from it. They just sort of, you know, let the cat out of the bag kind of thing, and it's gone, and what are you going to do? And that's unfortunate. You know, I think if the nose were held to the grindstone kind of thing, and we were pushing on things like CTE, like mental illness and so on, I mean, we've got guys that are pushing it on their net pages all the time. But we really don't discuss a lot of that. We don't discuss our other issues, and I think that falls into a big trap right now. We see guys that are on sports, you know, talking about injuries or long-term mental illness or whatever else, and they're on the TV 24/7 pretty much, whether it be basketball or football or hockey or whatever else, and wrestling is still in that stigma of a carnival atmosphere, you know, backroom dealing kind of thing. It can't be taken legitimately, et cetera, et cetera. And unfortunately, that's, you know, the end result is we see guys that have had some serious problems and aren't being given the opportunity to get the proper care they need. It doesn't matter about the wellness programs because, I mean, that only affects those that were in the WWE and WWF and so on and so forth, and you know, I can speak on the Matt Bourne situation with that, there's a lot of other situations where, you know, the cries for help, you know, I mean, you know, Billy Jack did that, was involved with that one suit there, you know, for CTE. It was just a very major thing where you're taking very major risks on your body for the, you know, entertainment of people, and you're not doing anything at the end to help those people recover from the damage that they've done to their bodies for the sake of entertainment of the people.
Absolutely. And, Matt, I want to say, man, I really appreciate and enjoy all the footage that you've already surfaced before in the past just on other stuff about wrestling. And, man, you know, your deal with Billy Jack, it's like, you're right, there's a lot of touchy subjects on there. And you're right, I don't know if all of those should be revealed. And one other thing I want to say about that, Matt, is I really hope that you and Devashi get a big part in the Device documentary.
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I'd. That's
At least something. You know what I mean? Not to reveal touchy stuff.
There's what you would call propinquity. I'm only separated 30 miles from the people that Billy ripped off, and I don't really want to talk about him on national.
Yeah. That's what I say. You not the touchy subjects that are dangerous.
Oh, it's scary as shit, bro. That's scary.
Yes, I know.
If you look into the family that he ripped off, you will be legitimately terrified. And I have a very different opinion of Billy after he got involved in that stuff. It darkened him, clearly. And then
I imagine that happened afterwards, of course.
But you know, the biggest takeaway I got from the news when they reported on it, the standoff and all that, the fact that he was Billy Jack Haynes was an afterthought. Nobody at that newsroom knew who he was or cared, some obscure wrestler from the 1980s. And it really showed me that, like, the Portland that I grew up in is, like, it's long gone, you know? Like, these people, it's just a different, it's Portlandia. It's not Portland anymore.
Yeah, it has been.
But I think that could be said for anywhere, though, whether you be in Florida or Georgia or North Carolina or Texas or any of these places where, quote-unquote, territories existed. They were our hub. They were our Portlandia or something like that. They were our nestle. You know, we knew, you know, when the matches came in your area, it meant something. But, I mean, you even saw that. I mean, I don't see it so much in the Western area because, you know, our media here was terrible. They didn't provide our talents with any of the grandeur that you would go say if you were in Memphis or something like that. My God, you'd be like, you know, Jerry Lawler was made into a king there because of the fact that the TV stations, the newspapers, and everything, you know, gathered around him. And they gathered around these athletes with almost like looking up to them kind of thing. And we didn't have that, whether it was Portland or Vancouver or Calgary. You know, the matches happened at these arenas drawing 2,000 to 3,000 people a night. Sometimes twice a week in Portland's case, and they would never get a blip in the Oregonian. They would never get a blip on any of the other stations. Sure that the Fox, you know, or Channel 12 would carry the wrestling, but there wasn't anything on the sports. There wasn't anything on the other media. I mean, it just didn't. Now, if you went to Florida, you went to North Carolina, you went to, as I said, Tennessee, you went to Texas. Oh my goodness, those people were like stars. They were bigger than Hollywood, for God's sake. I mean, you couldn't walk down the street without being accosted by people, whether you were a heel or a face. It didn't matter. You know, and that's really what bothered me when I saw, and like you, Matt, when we saw that thing of 80s wrestler, you know, arrested in Portland. You know, we're like, who? You know, and then they suddenly said, well, Billy Jack Haynes, okay. But they never really went into the depths of you know, what Billy Jack was to the Portland scene. You know, he, you know, although he was only here for a couple of years, he, you know, facilitated. I mean, he had definitely the best body in the Portland area. He was in unbelievable physical specimen. And the media just basically went, oh, well. You know, and to me, that's disgraceful. You know, these guys deserved more than they got in these local areas. And they, and that's why I was saying, you know, Dark Side of the Ring would take a look at us and go, oh, so what? You know, it just, that bothers me. I think that they deserved a lot more than they've been getting.
Okay, well,
I think Dark Side of the Ring is going to, I think Dark Side of the Ring is going to eat up Billy Jack Haynes. It's going to, I think that wouldn't surprise me if that's next season. So I could tell you what I know about the trial because I'm keeping tabs on this. Billy will have a hearing on the 15th of this month, May 15th. And I am curious to see what happens at that hearing. He was supposed to begin his trial last month, and it was delayed. And that's, not abnormal, but see what Billy's done, just based on what I can understand, is he has pled not guilty, and he has waived, and he has not waived his right to a speedy trial. So, like, this is the first thing they do, is they get you to waive the right to a speedy trial. So that you, they're going to keep him in jail for, 2 years, 2.5 years before they can get him to trial. And so he hasn't done that. And I would imagine that's because Billy knows enough criminals to have learned that prison is a lot better place to be than jail. So if you're going to go, like, get there soon so you don't have to deal with jail. And that's probably what Billy's mindset was. But also it's like, put me on trial in 90 days. Let's see if you can prove it in 90 days. But they're probably able to stall that out because of, like, mental health evaluation. It's certainly something that's going to be conducted there. And so that would stall it out a little bit as they wait, because there's going to be a backlog on that for a few months.
And for the people who don't know the difference between jail and prison, at least prison you get to get out of your cell. But the downfall of the prison is more people might want to tap your ass in prison than in jail.
Oh, yeah, and you can buy a TV in prison,
Exactly. You can make license plates.
You can get the educational systems and, like,
Well, hey, guys, excuse me, Matt. What were you going to say?
Never mind. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. I want to thank you guys so much. I'm sure Sign Guy's got a little more before we wrap up.
So the last real question I have for you guys today is, considering everything we've talked about today, everything we know with Billy Jack, and it's been said that he does suffer from dementia, like Matt was saying, it might have been a murder-suicide pact that didn't all the way pan out. We know the trial has not taken place yet. If you were to look at things objectively where they sit right now, what do you think ultimately is going to be the fate, legally speaking, of Billy Jack Haynes? We'll start with Stuart.
I think that definitely they're going to be seeking the middle of some sort, that he'll be looking at the mental fitness as to whether or not, he was mentally fit at the time. I think he will probably ultimately get found either guilty or not guilty by reason of insanity. He'll probably be spending the rest of his life dealing with this issue from then on. I would hope that there are people around him that can guide him to the land that he needs to be in, but he's going to have a rough ride. He's 61 right now, almost 62, and he looks at a downside from his days gone by. He's going to be living a life of solitude for some time to come, for sure.
Matt, what about you? What do you think is going to be the fate of Billy Jack Haynes?
So I can only judge this based on my limited experience with Billy the last time I saw him, which was at least 7 or 8 years ago. If he is still of the same cognitive capacity he was then, it's my opinion Billy Jack Haynes is going to try to work a jury of his peers into believing he's mentally ill, and he may or may not be successful at that. I have not heard that Billy has dementia. I heard that the missus had dementia, and that's why she didn't want to live anymore after the hamster died from being overfed. which is the craziest thing. You could kill. I want to die because the hamster died. Yeah, that's pro wrestling sometimes, I guess. I think Billy will be found guilty, and I think Billy will probably go to prison. Because if it's the Billy Jack from 7-8 years ago, he is mentally competent to stand trial. He knows the difference between right and wrong. He knows that there is no law allowing a mercy killing. That's not a justifiable homicide. And so he's probably going to go to prison. But he's a worker, and so he might be able to work the entire legal system into believing he's mentally ill, and he'll just go to a mental health facility. Those are the only things. I don't see him getting off. That's all I know. He ain't getting off.
Fair enough. Well, guys, we're down to the last few minutes today, and I want to make sure both of you have ample time. If there's anything you want to say in closing, if you want to plug and promote absolutely anything, social media, merchandise, yeah, books, your favorite radio station, anything at all you want to say, Stuart, floor is yours.
Well, for those who want to see little old me, which isn't, I'm not definitely going to be on the dark side of the ring anytime soon, but they can catch me if they check out powerprowrestling.com and the YouTube channel there. I've been doing their commentary for the last several months, and then we've got upcoming shows in Kaiser at the Lions Hall on the 24th and part of the Eugene Emeralds on May 25th. Tickets, if you go through powerprowrestling.com, are only $10 to see baseball and wrestling. I mean, you know, can't go wrong for that. For several hours of entertainment for $10, I mean, that doesn't exist anymore. But I'll be out at the Waterloo Hall of Fame in July. I think it's the 17th or 18th of July. We're doing the cribbage tournament out there, and there's a lot of great stars that are going to be out there. CAC in August. We've got that going on, I think, from the 21st through 24th of August. And then we've got a lot of great stars out there. I'll be running the cribbage tournament out there. So definitely love to hear from people. They can email me, BulldogBobBrownJr1@yahoo.com. Say hi. Love to hear from some people. You know, it's definitely nice to be able to reminisce sometimes about the days gone by and talk old school for sure.
All right, Matt, legit, anything you want to say, plug, or promote?
Sure. Check out all of my amazing historical wrestling articles at facebook.com/Portland Wrestling. Check out all the amazing videos, the historical archive and documentary archive and podcast archive at youtube.com/testosterone overload. Support your local wrestling.
All right. Well, guys, I want to thank you for being on today. I appreciate it very much. And Debashi had to duck out early, but I'm sure he would remind everyone to go to Debashi's Market located at 721 South I Street in Tacoma, Washington, and pick up some of your Debashi's coffee. He has Yemen Gold, Pacific Northwest Heavyweight Championship blend, and Grit City Sasquatch blend. You can also pick up all of your grocery needs there. And he would also end it by saying, "Huss." But, Coach, what have you got to plug
that place out, I swear. Yeah, and don't forget to check out his Lyrical Spit podcast also. Yeah, you guys can check me out at Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't forget to check out the Real School Army and the NGW Green Room for hundreds of interviews from celebrities all over the world. And, of course, you can catch me at the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast every Saturday at noon Pacific. I'm lucky and blessed to have Sign Guy on with me half the time. Next week, I have Drew Skibbles on. He's recovering from injury, so glad to have him on. And then on the 25th, I got Disco Fury out of Canada. And then looking to book some more people. What's that?
Absolutely, Disco Fury rocks.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, yeah. I want to thank QT and JD for creating Turnbuckle Turmoil and Sign Guy for all he does. And
thank everybody. We appreciate it for all your love and support and feedback. Thank you so much.
All right, Coach, next week you got to 100% be sure you don't be sucking.
Exactly. We already knew that. We told him first day.
All right. Well, fans, you can find me on all the social medias. You know how to find me by now. Also, you can jump on the YouTubes. Hopefully you subscribe to prevent Stomp and Steve from getting a sneezy head. Also, you can find us next week, next Friday afternoon. We have the return of Mega Mondo. And then 1 week from this very day, we're back. We're discussing steroids as they relate to pro wrestling, their history within the business, the ramifications of such. Should be an interesting time with that. And you can find me next Saturday in Vaughan, Washington at Northwest Pro. So if you are at an arena near me, come buy a ticket. Get out there, support all the local independents, no matter where they are near you. And we will be back with you very soon. Everybody stay safe out there, and we'll talk to you soon. Mm-hmm.